You shall die. These are terrifying words. Words of condemnation. Words meant to silence and destroy. In Jeremiah 26, verse 8, these words come from the religious leaders, the priests and the prophets of Judah, directed at the very man whom God has sent to warn them. Jeremiah has spoken God's truth, calling them to repentance, and their response was anger, was rage. You shall die. Why? Because the sword of Jeremiah's words cut them deeply, even to their very soul. His words struck at their pride, their false security, struck at their comfortable but sinful way of life. But rather than repent, the people sought to eliminate the messenger and his message. These same words, you shall die, would be spoken in different ways against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His truth was unwelcome. His warnings were despised. And so the very religious leaders condemned him to death. And yet, in both cases, Jeremiah and Jesus put their trust in their Heavenly Father. So what does that mean for us today? As followers of Christ, we too may face hostility when we stand up for the truth. But our hope is in the one who faced the ultimate rejection. Yet he rose in victory. Jeremiah had been preaching in the temple courts, warning the leaders and the people that if they did not turn from their sin, destruction would come upon Jerusalem and even the temple itself. But instead of heeding God's warning, the priests, the prophets, and the people seized him, declaring, "You shall die." Notice who is condemning the prophet Jeremiah. Not some foreign oppressors, not pagan enemies, but the very people who claimed to serve their God. The ones who should have been leading the people in faithfulness were the first to silence the truth. This pattern repeats throughout history. Faithful voices, those who stand on God's word, are often the ones that society, religious leaders seek to silence. The truth is always dangerous to those who live in sin and in opposition to God. Have we not seen the same today? The world is quick to silence those who speak uncomfortable truths against sin, judgment, repentance. Even within the church itself, there is a temptation to soften the message so no one takes offense. But Jeremiah did not change his words to please the crowd. Neither did Christ. And neither should we. The uniting cry, "You shall die," is nowhere better demonstrated than in the push for women's reproductive rights and abortion. Not only in the attempts to kill our children, but against those who speak God's word of truth, revealing the evil that it is. In an article from this week's LaCroix International, a Catholic newsletter, the author is at risk of being another Jeremiah. Written by the retired Bishop Michael Pfeiffer of San Angelo, Texas, he takes a strong stand on the evil that is abortion today. He writes, "Day by day, abortion is indeed the worst moral evil in the USA, because of the huge numbers of precious unborn children of God, truly human persons, killed by this brutal, cruel act." He goes on to support his statement with facts such as these. In 2024, over 2,800 tiny unborn children were destroyed via abortion each day in the United States. This is only slightly less than the number of people killed on 9/11, 2,996, the worst terrorist attack in American history. The recent Guttmacher report estimated that the abortion pill accounted for 63% of all deaths. 63% of all deaths in 2022. Worldometer calculates that over 45 million abortions were performed worldwide in 2024. Planned Parenthood, in its most recent annual report, proudly announced that they had put 392,715 unborn babies to death while receiving $700 million in taxpayer funding. Planned Parenthood performs 133 abortions for every one child they refer out to adoption. The numbers reveal where their focus really lies. As defenders of the right to pro-life, we pro-lifers must be aware that, according to Live Action, a global pro-life nonprofit, 114 major corporations care enough about their female employees that they are willing to help murder their children. These companies will pay the expenses to fly women to pro-abortion states where abortion providers will gladly and brutally kill their babies. And yet, whenever someone speaks out about abortion, they take the risk of becoming a target themselves. You only have to post a pro-life comment on Facebook to become the target of many hurtful words. Just like Jeremiah, Christians today must be willing to speak the truth, even when it's unpopular. And the risks are real. Pro-life medical professionals may be forced out of their jobs for refusing to participate in abortions. Christian business owners may face legal battles for standing up for their convictions. Young people in our schools and universities are often mocked and ostracized for defending the unborn. Churches that boldly preach against abortion may receive backlash, protests, and even threats. Yet what did Jeremiah say when his life was threatened? "As for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves." Verses 14 and 15. Jeremiah knew that his life was in God's hands, not the world. He did not fear death because he trusted in the one who is greater than death. The cry of Jeremiah's enemies, "You shall die," finds its ultimate fulfillment in the passion of the Christ. In Matthew 26, 66, after Jesus is falsely accused before the high priest, the religious leaders cry out, "He deserves death." Like Jeremiah, Jesus stood in the temple speaking God's truth. Like Jeremiah, he warned of the coming judgment, calling for repentance. And like Jeremiah, he was met with hatred and rejection. But here's the key difference. Jeremiah was spared. Jesus was not. Jeremiah, though threatened, was eventually rescued by the officials and spared from execution. But Jesus went to the cross. He did not resist, nor did he plead for his life. He willingly bore the sentence of death that we deserve. The irony is staggering. The religious leaders told Jeremiah, "You shall die." But he lived. The religious leaders told Jesus, "You shall die." And he did. But his death brought life for the world. The words of condemnation spoken in hatred were turned into the very means of our salvation. Jeremiah's story forces us to ask, how will we respond when speaking the truth will cost us? We live in a world that increasingly rejects God's word. Speaking God's truth, the biblical truth, whether about sin, salvation, or Christ alone as the way to heaven, can result in hostility, ridicule, or even persecution. Are we willing to stand firm? Are we willing to proclaim what is right, even when the world around us says, "Be silent, or you will die"? Jeremiah's response is one of courage and trust. "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard," from verse 12. And also, "But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you," verse 14. This is the kind of faithfulness that Lent calls us to reflect on. Do we trust in God enough to remain steadfast in the truth, no matter what it may cost us? Ultimately, the words, "You shall die," are words of judgment that every one of us sinners deserve. "For the wages of sin is death," as it says in Romans 6:23. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ himself took our judgment upon him. The very sentence spoken against Jeremiah and Jesus is the same sentence that hangs over us. But because Jesus died in our place, we can live. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And even more, Christ did not stay dead. Though the world condemned him, God raised him from the dead in victory over sin, the death, and the devil. And because of his resurrection, even if the world rejects us, we have the promise of eternal life. Pardon me. This Lent, there are several important things for us to remember. First is that God's truth will always face opposition. Like Jeremiah, we may be rejected for standing firm in the truth of God's word, including the truth about abortion. Secondly, Jesus bore the ultimate rejection for us. He died so that we might live. And thirdly, because Christ conquered death, we have nothing to fear. United in his death and in his resurrection in our baptism, we have the promise of everlasting life. So even when the world condemns us, our future is secure. Secure in him. In a world that seeks to silence the truth, even to the point of our death, may we be bold enough to speak, faithful to stand, and confident in the promises of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.